This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Tonight, hey, everybody, justice served up big time in the case of a team doctor for Team USA. Kate Delaney hanging with you all the way through. So as we look at that big story that I've talked about many, many, many times on this show, in fact, we've had people on, doctors on, talking about it. What a violation of so many things. But you have the university president of MSU quitting over the Larry Nassar scandal. You have this former Team USA doctor sentenced to up to 175 years in prison for decades for sexual abuse. So he was somebody who had 150 women and girls in court saying that he sexually abused them over the past 2 decades, some of them rather famous, who were U.S. gymnasts. He pled guilty to 7 counts of criminal sexual conduct. He admitted he used his trusted medical position to assault and molest girls under the guise of medical treatment. And he just had a short statement saying that hearing 7 days of victim impact statements had shaken him to his core. Well, he's going to get a lot more shook up, let's say, in prison. And he should have gotten what he got. He did. And it, you know, all these victims, their stories, it's just awful. Bottom line is the judge pretty much served it up. You know, this is it. You deserve this. And she leveled him with it. It's the violation of that trust is just the whole thing, the fallout through the sentencing of this idea that U.S. gymnasts and the U.S. Olympic Committee and Michigan State University's institutes employed him for 2 decades. Wow. And nothing took him down until finally that Pandora's box was broke open and was broken open, and it should have been. So all three organizations, by the way, have denied wrongdoing, saying they reported the sexual abuse allegations to authorities once they heard about them. But the fallout is still pretty big. And even Michigan State University asked the state attorney general to investigate the response to the abuse. And the president has faced calls for resignation, her resignation, and that's what she did. She resigned. So good riddance. He's done. He's in prison, and that's that. But let the healing begin for all those people that were affected by this horrific, horrific predator. This is a big one. How about the president saying he wants to testify. He wants to talk to, Robert Mueller under oath and looks forward to it, saying he's going to listen to the advice of his lawyers, but he made the comments to a group of reporters who were meeting with the chief of staff, John Kelly, at the White House. He said, I want to do it. Here's the story. There's been no collusion. There's no obstruction whatsoever. I am looking forward to it. And Trump even suggested that people could wrongly construe his attempts to fight back against the investigation as obstruction. But he's saying, give it to me. I want to do it. I would do it under oath. I would do it. I would do it. Yeah. So this is big in a sense because there's been this tug of war over why won't he testify and will he testify. And certainly the focus, one of the focuses was over Michael Flynn, who pled guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Sergei Kislyak, who was the Russian ambassador to the U.S. at the time, and said he was cooperating with Mueller's investigation of potential coordination between Trump associates and Russia to influence the 2016 election. So I don't doubt that they're going to find anything there, and good for him for saying that, saying, yeah, fine, I will testify. I'm willing to do that. I want to do that. And there you go. And then there's the other thing that came out of D.C. is this push and pull over the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival program. And the president said he opened the door to citizenship for the undocumented immigrants who came to the U.S. as children. He said there should be a pathway to citizenship. We're going to morph into it. It's going to happen at some point in the future. He said it's an incentive for the immigrants who largely have known no other country besides America to work hard and do a great job, is what he said. So that takes some of the heat off, I think, certainly the Republicans takes the heat off of them, and it does put the ball in the court of the Democrats, because there's been this war of words that's been going on from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and the president. So now they're saying, look, let's negotiate some more. We're game on. We're ready to do this. We're clearly going to make some sort of a pathway to citizenship for the DACA representatives. So that helps the Senate in trying to come up with a proposal that he can sign into law. This is a compromise. So that is a good thing. When you look at the possibilities, what else could happen with the immigration program and what would be tied to that. So there's a huge give back, because that's one of the things that we hadn't seen before, right? And then here's a story that I'm also going to pull out here at the top, because I got something about this over the weekend. But Glenn Selig, a spokesman for Trump campaign advisor Rick Gates, was killed in Kabul in a hotel attack. There were a couple of Americans, four, that were killed on the Intercontinental Hotel in Kabul. And, of course, it happened January 20th, and they say, out of respect for the families of the deceased, we don't really have any other comments, but it was confirmed. And this Glenn Selig was somebody who was definitely part of the community, the Washington community, but he was a father, he was a husband, and that was sad news to hear that. Somebody I knew was connected to him, and they sent me a link, so I had heard that story. But he was in Kabul on a potential success story involving Afghanistan and its steps to battle extremism. The focus was highlighting the country's new president and constructing a democracy forum event for the Afghani women. So he was there working on that. There was a 12-hour standoff with security forces that after the gunman raided the hotel. So they were sitting ducks, basically. 22 people killed, and there wasn't much they could do. It was pretty swift, and it was pretty violent, and very violent, as a matter of fact. And even Rex Tillerson, the U.S. Secretary of State, issued a statement. He said the U.S. stands with the government and people of Afghanistan. We are firmly committed to supporting Afghan efforts to achieve peace, security, and prosperity for their country. Violence like what we witnessed yesterday is no place in Afghanistan or anywhere else. So sad that this American who's well-known in Washington circles was killed in this awful, awful attack. Coming up, fruits and nuts, shred it, and bingo, Nathan Reeder joins us. Woohoo!
Time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Lonely little carpet tough, a twisted woolly Joshua tree, surrounded by its fallen friends, alone in threadbare woven field, lone, standing tough.
Time to invite somebody else in to the play area and go a little more, I don't know if lighter is the right word, but a little more interesting, I think, with our fruits and nuts, shred it, and bingo. Bingo! Bingo! Hello, Nathan Reeder.
Hi, Kate Delaney.
How are you? Are you warm for everybody listening? Of course, the mothership is in Minneapolis. Is it 2 degrees or worse?
It's summertime here. It's like 20-something.
Summertime. Oh, I like it. Oh, that's awesome. All right, so here for fruits and nuts, here's a good one to start with. You know when you go into the stores and they have all those scratchers, all different kinds, you see them when you go into like a convenience store and people scratch them off and they win $100,000 or $200,000 or $10 like me or $5. Occasionally my nephew likes to do that. You know what I mean, the scratch-offs.
I know a few people who like that very much.
Well, how about this? This is a cool story. A Massachusetts guy tried to claim $10,000 in lottery prize, right? He was really excited. He had this big scratcher card, and he thought he had won $10,000. Wow, I can't believe it. But actually, when he took his 50 times cash word, was what it was called, scratch-off ticket to the Massachusetts State Lottery, the regional office, he thought, I'm going to walk away with $10,000 and pay the taxes, and that's great and everything, but he misread the ticket. He was actually a $1 million winner. I love that story.
Whoa.
That's pretty exciting. I'd say that's awesome. And he collected $650,000, so they took, you know, the taxes out, and that's what he got. Wow. I love that story.
Yeah,
it's a bingo. I mean, good for him. You think you, that? I mean, that's a cool surprise. You misread it, you go, and then it's, wow, you know, so much more than you thought, which you were just excited over the 10, and then it turns out to be that much bigger. Very
yeah.
cool.
Yes. Lotteries are
yes.
nice when you win them.
And if you play them, since you and I don't really play them, I mean, it's very rare. Our chances, I think, are pretty much nil, unless we started to play here and there. Yeah. So you go from that to what I thought was interesting. The world's fastest mobile hot tub sold for $26,400 at an Arizona auction. A 1969 Cadillac DeVille, Nathan, converted into the Guinness World Record holder for world's fastest mobile hot tub was what
How
was sold.
How fast are you going in that when you're sitting in the tub?
I think it's hilarious.
Are you going 80 down the highway in the hot tub?
It's a wild car. It's like this sort of pink long car. I mean, this is old Cadillac DeVille, and it was set up as a first hot tub land speed record in 2014. It reached a speed of, I'm not kidding you, they say because they clocked it, 160 miles an hour. How do you do that? You must be holding on for dear life is all I can
yeah,
think.
Yeah, there's seat belts in that thing.
Seat belts.
You put the bubbles
Wait,
on
I'm
really
splash.
High.
Splish,
they hold you
splish,
right in.
Splish, splash. I was taking a bath in my Cadillac DeVille, and suddenly my cheeks were sucked back by the wind blowing against it. Wow, wow, wow. Now, they say it can't be registered or driven on any public roads now that they know that.
Yep.
But it did get sold in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it's really, it is kind of a cool-looking car. I know this is radio, just picture long, old Cadillac DeVille, and you really do have a hot tub in there. They rigged it up to look like that. Very cool. Very cool.
Bingo.
Okay, so sometimes people, I'll say bingo for that. Sometimes people, and I know in my neighborhood we have bobcats, armadillos, sometimes you see coyotes. It's crazy. I mean, not every day, but you do, they do appear. So lots of things can happen to delay planes on runways. As we all know, I've been delayed on many, many planes in my lifetime. But what's so interesting is that in Idaho, a plane landing was delayed because there was a cougar on the runway. So a passenger flight at the Idaho airport ended up aborting the first approach and another approach because this mountain lion wasn't moving. It was a Delta flight from Salt Lake City. The cougar trotted across the runway in the path where the plane would have taken it. So initially they spotted him way at the end of the runway. They used a car basically to herd him off of the, you know, where the planes were landing, but it made the passengers on the plane, you know, they were kind of worried what's going on because they had to cycle around a few times, and then they were shocked when they found out it was a cougar on the runway. And that's what they said, you know, the pilot, this is your captain speaking, and sorry for the 15-minute delay, but there's a cougar on the runway. I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, that's a little
funny.
Fruits.
Fruits, yeah.
Fruits.
Hey, guess
nuts.
What, honey? I was late because there was a cougar on the runway. I swear. That's what happened.
Oh, that's just going to get you in more trouble.
Yeah, why even
cougar?
Say it right?
Get
yeah,
it.
Just
cougar.
Forget it. Right? All right, so since we had like this weird money thing going on in the beginning, there was a stretch of highway in Illinois that was closed for about an hour. Crews were working to clean something up. What do you think they were cleaning up from the runway?
Bubble gum.
That would be funny and scary. No, it was money. What happened was there was this there was a crash, and there was a black Ford passenger car that was carrying operating video gambling machines. It spilled out onto Interstate 74 in Champaign County. And as a result, money was flying out all over the place and was all over the road. So $5, $10, $20 bills.
Fun.
Let's sweep up those banknotes, shall we? Yeah, let me see. Let's sweep them up. There was it was a two-car deal that smashed, and apparently a third one kind of swerved to avoid them, so the third one didn't happen. But, yeah, money flying out on the road. Crazy.
Nice.
I got another one for you. So you wouldn't need a lot of money to buy this, but you know what the fidget spinners are? Have you seen those, Nathan? Do you have one?
I do not have one. I have
seen them.
They are, you know, if you stand at a register and look to your left or right in almost any store you are, they probably have them nowadays.
Oh, I know. They're everywhere. It's so true. Well, a company in Japan created the world's smallest fidget spinner, measuring less than an inch long. It was a Tokyo-based Minebe Mitsumi. They have a 20-inch long spinning toy, and they say it's pretty high quality, smallest, smooth rotation, that whole thing. A team of 8 people spent a couple of months crafting it, putting it together, and it weighs like nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to the world's largest fidget spinner created by Tony Fisher in England. It's a diameter of 11 feet. I think I'd rather have the small one than the big one.
Yeah, come on. Fidget does not sound like it should be bigger than your body.
I know. It's crazy fidgeting with the fidget thing, isn't it? What are you, like, in a meeting and you say, excuse me, I'll pull up my fidget.
No, you don't say anything, Kate.
No, you just start fidgeting around with it. I guess it's better than... I say it's bingo in some ways because I think it's better doing that than people who are on their cell phones. They're texting during meetings or trying to hide it, but they're doing that. And, you know, Nathan, all you have to do is look around when you're walking, when you're in a restaurant. It doesn't matter. You look around and you see people with their faces and their phones. I saw a whole family the other day, and I would never criticize anyone. They could do whatever they want. But it was a couple and 3 kids, and all of them were in the phone the whole time. They were so quiet.
I remember you talking about that, yeah.
You don't hear anything. I mean, you hear any conversation.
You see it everywhere. You see it everywhere.
Yeah, you see it. You do. I don't know. Sometimes if you can, put the phone down. Pay attention. Attention pays. This is what one of my friends would say. All right, Nathan, thank you very much.
You got it, Kate.
All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way, of course, on the flip side, as I like to say, here on America Tonight.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Frustrations talking about the lack of jobs, the skill sets you have, especially when it comes to manufacturing and steel in particular. Many of our great affiliates fall into those regions where you're counting on those jobs and you're questioning what's happening around the country. I'm so thrilled to be joined by right now Scott Paul, who is the president of the Alliance of American Manufacturing. And he knows all about that because they dive very, very deep. He does a terrific podcast. I would suggest you definitely tune into that, the Manufacturing Report. And I'll tell you what, Scott, it's nice to have you on the show, but I feel the frustration of so many of my listeners who have children who wanted to go and follow into the footsteps of their fathers and their grandfathers and feel like they can't because the jobs aren't there. What in the world is happening? I thought we were working on infrastructure in this country and there'd be more jobs.
Hey, Kate, first of all, it's great to be with you and right back to you. I really respect your show and what you do. And you're right. I mean, here's the challenge, I think. You know, we're in a time where there's relatively low unemployment. The stock market is doing well. And yet you have a lot of communities where it is hard to find a good job. I was just in a little wedge of Wisconsin where there were a couple of thousand people that showed up for a job fair that one of those Amazon fulfillment centers that was happening, and you can't make a career out of that. The the kind of blue-collar skill jobs where you could achieve a middle-class lifestyle, you know, save for your retirement, buy a home, buy an automobile. They're hard to find. They really are, but we can have a future in it. I mean, you know, the steel mills, the auto factories of our parents and our grandparents' age, you're right. Those are a thing of the past, but there is also a bright future for people who want to go into manufacturing, if we have the right policies, and this gets to your point about infrastructure and all of this. I mean, we still live in a physical world, and you just think, you know, you just look around right now and you see all the steel in your life that you don't even realize. So there's going to be a demand for things like steel, but are we going to have the policies that are going to allow us to be competitive in the global marketplace and also make sure that there's a level playing field, and that other nations are playing by the rules as well, so that we give our young people an opportunity to enter a really good career.
I know you dive deep into this and talk to a lot of people like I do in Washington. And what is the feeling that you're getting? It's great. I love that you use the word level playing field because it's not really level right now.
Yeah, and this is something that if you dial back to last year, Bernie Sanders was talking about on the Democratic side, Donald Trump was talking about on the Republican side. It really had some resonance with a lot of different voters out there. This idea that our trade policies haven't worked, that there is a better way to do this, and I see it too. And so, you know, the president, you know, won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, and that kind of a trade message really resonates there with those steel workers and those auto workers. And what we've seen are a lot of kind of trains leave the station in terms of policy, like lots of ideas that have been generated or promises that have been made. But I'm very sad to report that, you know, none of them have arrived at their destination. They seem to have been sidetracked. We're back to the same framework where it's hard to get anything done in Washington, D.C. There's been some resistance to things that the president is trying to do, even when there's some industrial state Democrats that want to do the same thing. And so we really haven't seen a lot of things that the president has been able to deliver on this. And I, you know, part of it is where his focus is, but part of it is there's also this resistance in Washington, D.C. for changing the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there on the status quo. And we're speaking with Scott Paul, President of Alliance for American Manufacturing. And if we go back to our dates, and I'm really good, Scott, at keeping dates. I got this big notebook so I can keep up with policies. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that was talked about during the campaigns, as you're saying, is what was going on, certainly in the industry and with manufacturing, and keeping it in America and made in America. I do a segment on my show called Made in America, and we dig deep trying to find people who are doing it right here. Now, the exciting thing is, you know that too, and there are, and I know you explore this, the companies that are here that are keeping it in America, and of all the people and all the places that you've gone and people that you've talked to, what gets you really juiced and excited about what you're doing?
Oh, look, that's a great question. I am so glad you asked that, because I think there's a couple of things. First of all, there's this misimpression that people have that, if you're working in a factory, it's because you got stuck there and you're not happy with your job and you'd much rather be doing something else. And everywhere I go, and no matter what kind of a factory it is, you know, the men and women that I talk to are thrilled to have their job. They see it being something tangible. They're working with their hands and with their minds. They see a product at the end of the day, and it's actually very satisfying work. And then I think the second thing, and you're right about this, is that there's so many people who say, well, you can't make this, you can't make that, you can't find this in the United States of America anymore. And so I love the entrepreneurs who are investing in all sorts of new things. And you just think about, and I'll think this is something that everybody buys, like, you know, footwear or apparel. And most of it is imported. You know, almost all of it went overseas. And yet you see these folks who have said, well, I'm going to make it in America. And they've done it quite successfully from, you know, amazing sweatshirts that American Giant does to, you know, flip-flops that a company like Okabashi does, or there's a sock company in Alabama. I mean, you cover these too, and mm-hmm. we do on our blog. I mean, there's almost an unlimited array of folks who are doing things. The only thing where I find we're falling short still is electronics and smartphones. And that's why I always remind Tim Cook that if he wanted to, he could do it in the United States of America.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he wanted to, because when you look at the dollars and cents of it, I still say, Scott, that economically you can make it feasible for these companies, and it gets back to what we first started talking about, the incentives and bringing that back into the United States instead of tossing it overseas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a combination. People always ask me, well, what's the one thing that would make manufacturing more competitive? Mm. And so if they ask it like that, I say, look, we need a strategy. You know, every state, every locality has a strategy to try to attract manufacturing jobs. I mean, you see when a company announces it wants to produce in the United States, all these states and localities get involved and say, well, come here. But as a nation, we also need a strategy. And that doesn't mean picking winners and losers, but it does mean things like investing in our infrastructure. That makes our logistics more efficient. Investing in the skills and training of men and women who won't necessarily be getting a four-year college degree, but who do have skills or who want skills and can put them to work in a modern 21st century factory. It means a level playing field on trade and a trade policy that is not focused on a philosophy. You know, the Ricardo and Smith are nice in a textbook, but look at the real world and see what's going on and see what we have to do. And also to promote research and development that's made in the United States. We invent a lot of amazing things, and then they end up getting made in China. And so, you know, if we tie all of those things together and also have a more competitive tax code, look, I think that we can compete with anybody. I mean, we have the know-how. We are a manufacturing country, and we've been that for the better part of two centuries. And there's no reason why we can't do this if we have the right kind of public policies that are going to support it.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, last one. So saving the steel jobs, what can the people, the millions of people do that are listening to you and I speak right now? What can they do if they're hearing this and their blood is boiling and they want to help people that are in the field?
Well, look, we're reminding the president of his promise and to stick to it, even to work through this Washington morass. And so if you go to AmericanManufacturing.org, we have a petition that we're sending to the White House. And, you know, we draw supporters from both parties, from every state. And it's like we do have to stand up for our steelworkers because they are the core of our manufacturing base. And they're the men and women who make the product that go into our battleships, our armored personnel carriers, our critical infrastructure, all of this we're going to have a big need for in the future, but they need that level playing field, and we want the president to follow through on his promise to provide that level playing field on steel.
All right, I'm urging all the listeners of America Tonight, go sign that petition, AmericanManufacturing.org, as Scott said. Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hey guys, pardon the advertising interruption to your radio program. Do yourself a favor and please listen carefully. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or other male prescriptions in the last few years, you need to hear about Noxetril, the super pill that will transform your sex life forever. You see, Noxetril has been formulated and developed in U.S. FDA labs, and it's the real deal. Noxetril works, period. Strong results that increase blood flow fast. And best of all, there are no side effects like prescription meds. After years of research, the developers of Noxetril got it right. This remarkable pill is off the charts. Right now, we encourage you to take advantage of our incredible free bottle offer. So what are you waiting for? Noxetril. It's that good.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2380. That's 800-993-2380. Free bottles for a limited time. So call now. 800-993-2380. 800-993-2380.
Wow, such an important subject and something that we've talked a lot about on this show. I am thrilled to welcome to America tonight, who's in our virtual green room right now, Ray Emperor, and he's written a book called Global Warming and Climate Change, a brief primer, including the Paris Agreement of 2015. Ray, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Kate.
So let's dive right into the book first. And of course, I love the subtitle where you say, including the Paris Agreement of 2015. When that agreement happened, first of all, what did it mean to you as you watched that unfold? And what is the news that you wanted people to take away from your book in reading that?
I think there was a great sense of achievement when that agreement was actually negotiated, because nearly 200 nations were in the mix, and every one of them approved a final result. So it was a tremendous effort, at the first major effort in some time to address climate change.
Yeah, one of the things that you talk about is that there are really workable solutions, because that's what people talk about in And they say, well, what are they? In reducing the use of fossil fuels and replacing them with clean energy solutions through wind and solar generation, which I've seen firsthand in different areas, like Palm Springs, for example, and that doesn't produce any greenhouse gases. It's very, very significant. What else would you say that people don't understand about these workable solutions?
Well, they need to understand that in addition to solar, there's wind, and these newer technologies are actually quite capable of meeting the needs. A lot of people fear that the traditional, you know, coal or oil-fired plant, electricity plant, are not going to be able to be replaced by these newer methodologies. And that's just not so, because we're seeing all over the world a tremendous rise in the use of both solar and wind energy.
Yeah, and you, and Raymond, you know this, that what a lot of the counterattack, I guess, to that would be people will say, well, it's not affordable, but that's not true either, is it?
No, it's not. It's quite affordable. What's not affordable is keeping this current system in place, because the more we generate CO2 and other greenhouse gases, the worse our climate situation becomes. It's imperative that the world turn around and stop using so much fossil fuel. If we don't, by the end of this century, we'll be in severe trouble.
Yeah, and you're somebody, you have a family and you have grandchildren, and do you think about them?
Definitely, certainly. I hope to leave a better world for our grandchildren than we have here. Yeah. Although it's not bad, but I mean, in terms of climate change, we're at the cusp now, a cutting edge, or a tipping point. If we keep going the way we are, slowly, we'll get there. But can we really afford to go slowly? That's the question.
Yeah.
We need to keep up the way in which we are impacting the climate by increasing the production of these green energy programs.
What, and under the same kind of theory of the counterattack of someone saying, well, Raymond, I think it's cyclical what we're seeing with floods, et cetera. What would you say to that? Because we certainly have seen a lot of catastrophes lately.
Yes, there is a cyclical nature to climate. But the point is that the cyclical nature is experiencing wider and more frequent swings toward extreme weather, be it hurricanes or wildfires or tornadoes. We're seeing more and more of this in the United States even. And to just ignore it is not going to help.
We're speaking with Raymond Emperor, and the name of the book is called Global Warming and Climate Change, A Brief Primer, Including the Paris Agreement of 2015. We're talking about the climate crisis, and as Raymond's saying, it's real, and there certainly are ways to reduce greenhouse emissions when we talk about this gas emissions. So, Raymond, what do you hope that the book will do? Will lead to more discussion, that kind of thing?
Yeah, this is not a scientific book. I'm not a scientist. I'm more of a public health administrator type. But I have an interest in this topic, and I think that most Americans, if they're better informed about it, would also see that there's a need to act. So I'm aiming my book at the millennials and also the Gen Xers, their parents, basically, because these are the people that are going to be in power very soon, and they need to be, educated on what the current situation is and what will probably happen if we don't act soon enough.
Yeah, and of course, what that time frame looks like, et cetera. And you mentioned it, that you've spent your life in public health, and you
right.
worked in certainly a very interesting arena in that itself. Did you see, because I think when you talk about health and you talk about your experience there, in a way, it does kind of dovetail into having this discussion about the future and climate change. Don't you think that you bring something to the table from your background?
Oh, definitely. The American Public Health Association had named this past year as the year of climate and health. And there's such a linkage between climate and the way people experience it. It's more difficult on people who are poor, low income, or sick to digest the climate change than people who are well and younger.
Yeah. What's been the reaction to you when you, and of course you've written other books, but what was the reaction to this book from friends and family and people around you who know you professionally?
Oh, I think they were excited because this is something I've never tried before. My other books have been quite different. And I spent, nearly a year doing this, putting this together. And during that time, I had numerous conversations with people, friends and relatives, about the book, and I got a lot of encouragement.
So because it was so different, and as you said, taking a year and putting it together, researching and trying to figure out how you're going to do it, kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, I would imagine. What was that experience like?
Well, it was interesting. I was very stimulated by the challenge of doing this. I had to do a lot of research because I'm not a scientist. And I delved into it, and I studied, I think I have 33 or 34 different sources in this book that I used to document what I'm doing, what I was doing. And so it took me a while to come to grips with the language of climate change and global warming. But it really isn't all that difficult to understand. It's basically just the accumulation of greenhouse gases to a rate that has been unprecedented in all of history.
And so when you delved into that research, and as you said, all the 33, 34 sources, what was the most, I guess, surprising fact that you found out or something that you uncovered that just really was something you weren't expecting to see?
Well, one thing I uncovered was sort of interesting. Back 100 years ago or more, electric cars were one of the major ways that people were experiencing transportation. Back in the early part of the 20th century, electric cars became battery-powered cars, became very popular because they were so affordable and they worked so well. And now we're seeing a renaissance in that technology with battery-powered and plug-in vehicles. So that was very interesting.
Right, to see that here at one time, really electric cars could have been pretty prevalent, but there probably was a movement to squash that, I would imagine.
Well, of course, with gasoline, was, you know, oil was discovered and gasoline was much cheaper.
Yeah.
And, of course, when the electric starter became available in 1912, no more cranking was necessary to start your car. The electric car, all you had to do was push a button. Even then, with an old model T, you had to crank it until 1912. And then when that came out, the market quickly shifted to the gasoline-powered cars.
Yeah, which, of course, was such a huge change. What would you say that people, because this would be, in the research you did and somebody reading Global Warming and Climate Change, a brief primer, including the Paris Agreement of 2015, what would you say that somebody who reads this and they get kind of, for lack of a better way to describe it, fired up and want to do something, what would you tell them to do? Spread the word, spread the book, that kind of thing?
Certainly, in my book, I have a whole chapter dedicated to how other organizations around the world deal with climate change, and I listed a number of them, I think 11 or 12 different organizations.
Sure, so they could reach out to some of those organizations that you listed.
Organizations like the Sierra Club, Greenpeace, the Union of Concerned Scientists, the Climate Reality Project, the Nature Conservancy, League of Conservation Voters, and there are other progressive groups as well.
Yeah.
Some of them more localized.
Did that, after doing this book and feeling good about it, and I want to tell everybody they can pick it up, of course, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble, .com, you can get it there, Lit Fire Publishing, that's another place where you can go to get Raymond's book. Will there be a part two?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to take a little break and think about what I'm going to write about next, if anything. And it might be, delving further into it, but at this point I have a million decisions.
There you go. But you still have this one. And of course, just published really a few months ago at the tail end of 2017. So, again, you can pick it up at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Raymond Emperor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate. It's been my pleasure.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.